Hi everyone, welcome back to the Hello Hello World podcast with me, Candace. On today's episode, I am happily chatting with my childhood friend, Miss Michelle Droulard. Michelle and I chat about so many wonderful things, her journey with gastric bypass surgery, her community that she's created through TikTok. We talk about our childhood and motherhood and so many wonderful things. I know for sure you will learn something from this episode. Grab yourself some water and thanks for listening. I would like to personally invite you all out to have fun with me at our first annual Local Fest. This is a family-friendly fundraising event in support of youth mental health and the wonderful organization of Noah's House. Come and enjoy some of the community's best shopping vendors, food, and even a silent auction with great array of options. We will have some of your favorite costume characters there, as well as live music with the band Leave Those Kids Alone. This event is free to enjoy, however, we encourage monetary donations of your choice. Local Fest is on December 3rd from 11 till 7 p.m. at the Bloom and Gardner, located at 6673 Concession 8 in Old Castle. See you all there.
Yay!
Welcome everyone to the show. Today I have a special guest. It's been a long time since I've done one of these episodes. I'm so fucking excited about this. I'm reconnecting with a childhood friend of mine, Miss Michelle Droulard.
Hi.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
We went to grade school together and I believe high school as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we went to high school. Yeah.
High school is a blank for me, girl. So I apologize.
French immersion program all the
yes,
way.
That, yes, indeed. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. So thank you for being on my show, Michelle. We're going to talk about her amazing journey and just about a lot of things that I think are going to really help others. So thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you for having me and asking me if I'd love to do this. It's an honor. Thank you so much.
Yes. I say this often, very important for things of this nature, and I'll get into what I'm talking about. To be showcased and announced. And if you or someone is willing to tell their story, I believe that you need the platform to do that for others to be able to listen, maybe reach out to you and have the ability to heal and be guided through your journey. And the fact that you're able to be so open about it and let everyone know and not be ashamed or scared, I think it's very important to give you this platform so that we can help others to accomplish and achieve what you have done so far.
Well, I'm very thankful for this platform. You know, like when we get into the journey and everything and what I've been doing, you know, it kind of sounds like a big old secret. We're making it very mysterious right now. But I mean, I was nervous at the beginning to even start speaking about it, but once I got into the world of looking of everything of my journey, I was like, you know what? People got to know. People need the help, because if I'm nervous, I'm sure everybody else is. So, you know, just trying to put more information out there and put people's minds at rest and really help them out and say like, hey, this is natural. It's nothing to be scared of. It's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, stigmas and all like that. We can break those barriers down. So it's all about information and, you know, help and guidance. And if I can help one person, then I feel like I've helped them all.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for that, because it's very, very important. And we're going to get right into it, because it's not a secret.
Nope.
Michelle had gastric bypass surgery in June, correct?
That is June the 2nd.
Okay. So, I mean, the bravery that it must, I can't even imagine. It's just something that I don't know. I've never been through it, so I can't relate. So I'm going to be learning a lot from you today as well. Mm-hmm. And, the gastric bypass is a huge part of you, of your journey, but I don't want to get, I want to know a little bit about you. I want you to tell us who you are first before that, because it's not necessarily everything about who you are. Tell us about you first.
Okay. Well, so let's see. I am 39 now. And I did have gastric bypass RNY surgery June 2nd, 2022. But prior to that, or well, currently, I am a mom of a 13-year-old boy. I work full time. You know, I have a family. I'm divorced and I'm actually engaged and getting married next July, July 14th, actually, 2023.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Beautiful date too, July 14, 2023. Yes.
So we're so excited about that. And I have a stepson as well who's 15 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, and I a little cat, and I had a dog previously who passed away. But I mean, I think I'm like your typical mom, friend, person. I'm full of anxiety. I love to work out. I just like to help people. I'm kind of like your problem solver. I'm your yes person. So if you, you want to do something crazy, yes, I'll do it with you. You need my help, yes, I'll help you. You know, and I kind of just, I find, and I also love therapy. I do have to say that I do love therapy. I also love anything holistic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I don't want to put myself in like that crunchy granola area, because I'm not that granola, but I'm a little bit granola.
Yeah.
So, I love all of that. And, you know, like, heavy metal music and gangster rap are kind of my things.
Really? Oh my gosh, I'm learning lots.
Yeah. So I think I'm all around, you know, your crazy friend that will probably do anything.
Well, that's so fun. What's your sign? I forget your birthday.
Leo. August the 4th. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
I usually, for some reason, remember my grade school people's birthdays. I knew your birthday was in August, but I felt like it was the 29th or the 28th, but not confidently, obviously.
Oh, that would bring me down to the Virgo. My son's
Yes, it would.
He's the 31st of August.
So. Ooh.
Yes.
Virgos are fun, especially the males. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So, and a little bit about Michelle and I grew up together as far as we went to grade school and, like I said, high school. We were friends in grade school for sure. Yeah. Not that we weren't friends in high school, but I don't even remember.
Yeah. We just had different groups in high school. Everybody always had their own little group of different places and stuff like that. I feel like with us being in that French immersion program, mm-hmm. we were all able to like get back together when we had French class and stuff like that. And we all knew everybody and we all knew about each other, but then we just all disperse when we'd have all of our English classes and hang out with our English friends, you know?
That's a really good point. Cause I try and think about, we all really did disperse. None of us really stayed kind of in one group. We dispersed out into the school. That's interesting perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. High school was very interesting. I wasn't a fan of it.
No.
I thought, oh, this is a weird thing. I preferred college times much more and couldn't wait to get out of high school. Like, get me the fuck out of here.
I hated it.
No,
too.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not enjoy it at all. What did you go to college for?
I went for advertising and marketing.
Okay.
And it was a 3-year program. And my mom was always of the mindset, if you start something, you have to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after like the first few weeks of that program, I was like, can I switch? And my mom's like, switch in the next semester, or finish this year and that. And then once I got to the end of the first year, I met some great friends and I was like, well, I guess I'll continue with it. But it wasn't really my forte. But I mean, I passed and I did an internship in Ottawa for 2 months at a public relations firm called Delta Media. Well, all my other friends did their internships in Toronto. I went to Ottawa because I had family there.
Okay.
You know, and then you just, I mean, my life could have been so different, but we all make a your decisions bring you somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So I was dating my ex-husband at the time, and we had like hopes of getting back together. Not getting back together, but getting married and doing stuff like that at our such a young age, you know, like in our 20s. And I was, you know, smitten with a boyfriend type thing. So my mind was clouded. I couldn't make my own decisions, essentially, you know, boys, right?
Absolutely, for sure.
And they did offer me a position to come on and do some like public relations stuff and see where that could go. And I was such a hometown girl, you know. I'm like, oh, I gotta go back to Windsor, you know. My boyfriend's there, my boyfriend works at a factory, he has a great job. And I waitressed at the local golf course. So I was like, oh no, you know, because I thought, oh, he could never quit his job and work in Ottawa. But I mean, that's what a mindset of a 22-year-old thinks,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I think if I would have been single, I would have been like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm living in Ottawa. My French probably would have like skyrocketed and improved, you know, but everything happens for a reason. I had a great time there. You know, came back and you know, just started doing my thing here type, you know, just living the life in Windsor. But I mean, I love my hometown. I'm mm-hmm. a hometown girl. I would never put my hometown down. And I encourage people to come here. You know, I love our area.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I agree.
Things are so different. You know, you make those choices and you don't really realize like, that choice I made affected the rest of my life, you know? So
it's kind of different. I think like for a reason probably.
Oh yeah.
Right?
For 1,000% for a reason. 100,000% for a reason. I think it was more of like, I knew that like, I think it was for my son, right? Like, you know, I didn't have my son till I was 25 years old, but I'm pretty sure that's the reason why I made that decision. Cause if not, I wouldn't have had my son, So mm-hmm. my son is like my world.
Of course.
I love him so much.
Yes,
so.
Of course. Definitely. Yeah. So are you doing the job that you're doing now? I don't even know, but is it related to what you took at school?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I will tell you this. French immersion has helped pave the career path that I have now. So,
I think I do know what you do.
So
okay.
I work, and I can say, I don't mind saying where I work because it's a great workplace. I work at Greenchill Canada. Mm-hmm. And I started working in the call center as a customer service representative. And I was, and my bilingualism got me in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been there for 16 years. And I started when I was 23. So I've been there for actually 16 years this October. So yeah. So, and I now work in as a, coordinator for the administration department, which sounds fancier than it is, but I mean, I love it and I've been doing the work. So I understand what I'm doing. And, you know, I still feel like I'm helping people, even though it's just a bunch of typing, but, I do feel like I'm helping people a lot. So
that's awesome. Yeah. 16 years is a huge accomplishment in the workforce.
It is. And you know, like that's, I feel like it's old school to have stayed in a job for that long because, you know, people now it's like, oh, a year here, two years there, back and forth all over the place. But, I don't know. I like a little stability. When everything else in my life is not stable, this one thing is perfect for me. You know, it's always the same. Go in, do what you know, and then you're done type thing.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm so happy to know that you love your job. Sounds mm-hmm. like for sure. I know a few other, friends that work there.
Oh yeah. There's a couple girls who work in my department who we all went to school with too.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
For sure. But I mean, it's natural, right? Yeah. French immersion. It's the perfect place to pursue your, mm-hmm. your linguistics.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I want to get a little bit into, your surgery. So, mm-hmm. I was thinking last night, like how to start, because I don't even know. Like, I guess let's start mm-hmm. with how long had you been thinking about having that surgery before
you
did it?
Great question. So yes, so this was not a split decision. This wasn't a, oh, today, you know what? I'm so fucking fat. Let's go cut me open. It wasn't like that. It was from the time I was a kid all the way till now, I've always been overweight at some point in time in my life. And I've always lost or gained 50 pounds, like a yo-yo, up and down, stuff like that. I mean, like grade 8 graduation, I had done Weight Watchers and lost like 45 or 50 pounds. And I was pretty small. I remember that. And it surprised a lot of people. And I remember people used to say to me in school, oh, you don't eat anything but an apple for lunch, or, oh, you're starving yourself. And I'm like, no, actually I'm doing Weight Watchers, you know, and I would get a little, people would make fun of me for being on a diet, but you know, they'd also make fun of me for not running track or being overweight. So it's like, well, what do you guys fucking want? You want me fat or you want me skinny? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, give it a rest, guys. Ooh. And I battled with that my whole time. And it kind of like goes back to the fact that my mom and her sisters and her family all grew up with weight problems, but they also grew up with eating disorders because their father was very like, weekly weigh-ins for the kids, line them up, you guys are too fat and stuff. So it's a whole area of trauma that I'm Jesus like Christ. You know, that I'm going over with a therapist, and you're like, oh wow, I didn't realize it was that deep rooted. So I mean,
of course,
thinking about that, you know, going through the years of, you know, adulthood, preteens, all that, just overweight and everything. And I've always tried so hard to do things, you know. After I had my son, I think I was like, I had gotten up to like 300 pounds when I gave birth to my son. And I thought, what the hell? And right after, I lost like within 10 days, I lost like 20 pounds. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I did like a mommy workout program with a bunch of mom friends and stuff like that. Gino and Marcus ran like a baby fit and swim. Mm-hmm. I used to do that. So, you know, feeling great, lost a bunch of weight after the baby. Then you go back to work a year later and you're sitting down and everybody's got chips and stuff on their desk, and it's like, oh, you know, so weight piled back on. And but to and from the years, it seemed like I would lose some weight and whatnot. And finally, in about 2015, 2016, my husband and I at the time, we decided, we were thinking, let's have another child, right? So our son was born in 2009, 2015, 2016. We said, let's have another child. And also I found out that I had gallbladder issues and I had to have a gallbladder removed. So the surgeon said to me, you're too big to put under. It's not safe. You need to lose weight. And I looked at him and I was like, fuck you. You know, nobody's going to tell me. So what did I do? I did not listen. Right. And then I see him like 4 months later. He's like, are you going to lose the weight? You really need this. And at that time I was like, you know what? Yes, I want to have a baby. We've been trying for like 8 months to have a baby. It's not happening. You know, we're on the list to go see like an actual fertility specialist. So, and I knew he was going to tell me, you need to lose weight. So I was like, okay, you know what? I want to have a baby. I want to have this surgery. Let's do this. And so I started my good old tried and trusted Weight Watchers. That always helped me in the past. I started it. You know, and I'm losing weight and it's great. And so finally by my surgery time, in a couple short months, like 3 months, I lost like 30 pounds. So the surgeon's like, perfect, we can do this. It's not a problem. Get my gallbladder out, everything. And I said, and I thought in my head, I was just going to stop and be like, I lost the weight for this. It's all good. And then, but I realized how good I felt after and the like rush I had for it. So I just said, that's it. I'm going to keep doing it. And then we saw the fertility specialist and he encouraged me to continue to lose weight and that it would be better. So with that, you know, you find out so many things that you know, I have mild PCOS. So that's polycystic ovarian syndrome, which a ton of people, more people than I know, have this. Mm-hmm. I don't have the symptoms as bad as a lot of people. Like, I don't have all of the markers for it. I just have some. I also have irregular ovulation and all these other things. So the doctor said, okay, we're going to try you on different meds and see. And well, we were not successful, but that's okay. It's not a problem. But I kept losing weight and I thought, oh, this is great. And then, you know, just life kind of gets in there. And I ended up almost losing 92 pounds. And I was working out all the time. I had also, in between all of this, between 2016 to 2018, I got divorced, everything, you know. So, like, when you get divorced, there is a fire lit under your ass where you're like, it's just primal. It's like, you know what? I'm back on the market. I need good.
Get it, girl.
You know? You just, it's like, it's like that revenge body, right? You're like, I'm freaking doing this. I don't care. So I worked out all the time. I think I lived on like tacos and vodka waters. and it wasn't healthy, but this is what I did, right? If my son was not with me that weekend, me and my girls, we were out, you know, having fun on the town, and we were crazy, you know, we just danced all night. We got into trouble. I felt like I was a kid again. It was amazing. Then, I meet my amazing fiance, and you know, the love weight comes on. It's like, ooh, let's go for dinner. Let's have this, let's have that, you know? So that love weight comes on. And so I started to gain a little bit, and then freaking pandemic hit. Right. Yeah. And it just started to balloon back up. And I mean, and that's where I said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm tired of this. I'm starting to hurt myself more often. Cause I was still very active doing workouts every day and everything, but I'm starting to hurt myself. I'm starting to get torn Achilles tendons. I'm starting to get, my back is sore. I got to go to chiro all the time. I got to go to physio. And I was like, I'm sick and tired of that. And then also just like sluggish and everything. And when I was in my late 30s and overweight, I really wanted gastric bypass, but I knew I was too young and too immature for it, because I would have been non-compliant. I wouldn't have been able to do what they needed me to do. I would not have stuck to the program. I would have deviated, and I would have been that person who lost 100 pounds real fast and then a year later gained it all back. I knew it. So it wasn't for me back then. And I didn't have a support system either. Like, I didn't have the support of my partner. I financially could not afford to be off work or even, you know, buy supplements for vitamins and all the protein drinks I buy now and everything like that, you know. Money wasn't there and support wasn't there. So, you know, it wasn't viable option. So I think waiting the 10 years that I did was actually the smartest thing that I could have done. Cause people say like, what's a regret or anything. And I'm like, not doing it earlier, but I would not have been successful if I did it earlier. You know, I'm only 125 days out from surgery. I still count in days, but, you know, 45 pounds down, but that the program and the process, you need to be all in. It is not a, maybe I'm in or not. You need to be all in. That's 1,000%.
Yeah, because it's a major surgery. It's major. You have to retrain your body, I would think. Tell me a little bit about like pre-op, what you have to do.
So pre-op, so even before pre-op, we get to that, there's a whole program. Wow. So there's a program that you have to go to an orientation. First, you have to get your doctor to refer you to the program.
Yeah.
And they can, and if anybody wants any of the information, it's the Ontario Bariatric Network. And it's all hosted at the Hotel du Grace Prince Road campus.
Oh, okay.
And they have a huge section on their website about the program and everything. So your doctor refers you first. If you meet the criteria, they'll give you a call and say, do you want to come for orientation and listen to what we have to say? And you go for orientation. It's like 2 hours and they tell you everything. And it's not a scare tactic. It's to make you informed, right? And also some people might have too many comorbidities. So they have too many health problems that they're actually, when they get there, they're going to find out, oh shit, I don't qualify at this point in time. I need to get my diabetes, my blood pressure, my cholesterol under check in check before I can actually proceed with the program.
Mm.
So I was lucky enough that I didn't have those things around me. So I was able to like, boom, say, yep, we can do this. And then the program's great because they really lay everything out for you. And they tell you, we have a 17-page document that you have to fill out and fill it out in complete and make sure everything's there. You have to do your homework. If you're not willing to do your homework for this, then you really shouldn't have your surgery done. Mm-hmm. Because this is your new life. This is your lifestyle. You have to work at it. Like, this is not just for fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have some doctor's visits and therapy. And then once you get approved and everything, you pick a surgical site. So you can pick to go to London or you can pick two hospitals in Toronto. I picked Toronto because they said the wait list was the shortest. Even though it was the further distance, I took that because it was the shortest and mm-hmm. it was not a problem. So with the pre-op, once they say, okay, here's your surgery date, now you have to start this liver reduction diet, which is also known as OptiFast. So OptiFast is a liquid diet. It's a pouch. You mix it with water and ice and blend it up. It's not the most fantastic tasting. And by the end of the 10 to 14 days, you're like, I never want to see this again in mm-hmm. my life. But this is what you do. This is mm-hmm. what you have to do, right? So each shake is like 300 calories. It has fiber, protein, everything you need. It's a complete meal. And the fiber actually expands and helps you feel full. So you don't think you're starving all day. You can have water, tea, coffee, but they are all black. No sugar, mm-hmm. extra sugar, sugar-free Jell-O, which I hate Jell-O. So I never took advantage of that at all. Broth. And my program, you're allowed 2 cups of vegetables, but there's only like 6 approved vegetables you could have.
Yeah.
So something that we're very, either full of water, not a lot of fiber or anything like that. And so I ended up having like broccoli and cauliflower, 2 cups of that every day for dinner. And I don't remember the last time I've had broccoli or cauliflower. I mean, I could have had cucumbers and they had green peppers, but I hate green peppers. Green peppers. I think in grade school, I wrote a jeune auteur, a young author's book about how much I hated green peppers. I hate green peppers. So you do that and, you know, there are ups and downs with that. And that's where I started, like, my TikTok was this whole documenting this journey. And mm-hmm. once I started OptiFast, that's where it blew up on TikTok is – I'm like, I'm going to make these videos and tell people how wonderful this is, you know, because I was on the search for videos or YouTubes and TikToks and anything I could, all the information I could gather. I was like an information eating machine.
Of course.
Because I wanted to know what everybody experienced so I could have like set myself up, you know, being full of anxiety. I don't like to go into things not knowing what's going to happen. I have to be prepared. Like mm-hmm. I need to know every scenario. I need to think about it 50 different ways, you know.
It's a Leo thing.
It is. I have to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the OptiFast was not that hard. I have a friend going through it right now. She's going to have her surgery October 14th. And ooh. So I've been teasing her. I'm like, come on, Mal, like, don't be such a baby. Let's go. I was like, come on, you can do this, girl. This is just 10 to 14 days out of your life and you'll be perfectly fine because what's on the other side is like pure gold, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, OptiFast. I recorded a video the other day just saying like, it seems like it's been such a long time since I did that. So I'm starting to forget, right? You know?
Yeah.
I'm just starting to forget what those early days are like. So I did go back and watch some videos and I was like, oh, Michelle, you were so wet behind the ears. You were so, you know, such a little baby back then.
Well, the growth you've seen in yourself. Yeah. But I think it's because it's ultimately what you were always trying to achieve.
Oh,
honestly.
Yes. 1,000%.
So can you tell me a little bit about post-operation?
Yes. So post-op was actually much easier for me than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
You know, I was worried it was going to be because I watched everybody, lots of other journeys, and people are like, oh, you have gas pain in you, because when you have a laparoscopic procedure, they do it through, like, they don't cut you open. They just have some incisions and they pop the instruments in and they, but they fill you filled with gas so that they have room to work, right? So that they can puff the belly up and they can move everything out of the way. So it's, they're going in, they say it's minimally invasive, but I mean, they're not being gentle. They're knocking your organs around and everything like that. And with the gastric bypass, cause there's two, gastric bypass is like the gold star, they say. And then there's the gastric sleeve. So the, so the bypass and the sleeve is more prevalent in the US than it is here in Canada. And so the surgeon tells you, when you wake up, you could have had either procedure. Depends on if there's organs in the way or if there's lots of fatty tissue and this and that. So you sign a consent form to have either one.
Okay.
And then you've, but they prefer to do the bypass. So they, what they do is they, essentially it's like, they sew up a portion of your stomach to the, about the size of a, of an egg. And then they reattach your intestines. So they like reattach it so that the absorption rate is a lot less and it goes, it goes right through you. Where the sleeve, they actually cut off along the side of your stomach. It looks like a banana. And that excess stomach, they actually remove that from your body. Whoa. So my stomach, my original stomach, is still in my body. But I have it, it's like zipped down. It's sewn up to the size of an egg and my organs are reattached. My like intestinal tract is reattached.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that in turn mean that your food intake can't be as large?
Well, the food intake for both surgeries are very close to the same. So my food intake, I'm about, you start off with like, after you're healed, you should be able to be anywhere from half a cup to a quarter cup at the starting. And then months and months after that, you can then go up from like a cup, a half a cup to a cup of food at one sitting.
Okay. So it's very specific. Wow.
Yes. When it first started, it was like a couple tablespoons to start off with, because once it's done, you're so inflamed. And so you can't hold a lot because you have all this swelling. You have to wait for that to go down. So the recovery and everything. So it wasn't as painful for me. I mean, it was painful, but, I was worried of this, like of when they pumped all that gas into you. Cause when I had my, my gallbladder. Oh, I didn't have that. When I had my gallbladder out, I also had laparoscopic surgery then. And they, and I remember feeling all the pain in the joints, because when they put the air into you, your joints expand.
Of course. Yeah.
And everything. So you're full of air. Ouch. And I remember after that surgery, like how sore my back was and everything else, but this surgery seemed a different. So, and you know, they had some painkillers that we had, but I'm allergic to codeine, so I don't really get like the good, all the good stuff. So. But I hate the way that feels anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not fun. And I have like five little incisions on my abdomen. They're healing up really nicely. And the goal was that the bariatric program said, as soon as you can, you need to get up and walk and get that gas out. Get
You know,
get your body moving again. Even though you don't want to, you got to do it and start sipping water. Because a few days, you have to be, for the first 2 days, you're like on clear liquids after the surgery type thing. And then on the, between the second and third day, then you can start having like Premier protein shakes or like Fairlife shakes, because you need to get that protein in your body. And there's like strict guidelines on what you can have. And there's different stages of liquid, then pureed, then soft food, then real food type thing. So, and my mom came with me and she was great. And we brought like little medicine cups that were like between 15 and 30 mils, like those little itty bitty ones. And she would fill them up. And it was like little shots, like, okay, down the hatch, let's have this one. 15 minutes later, let's have another shot, you know, of protein.
So that's another question I have for you, like regarding support.
Yeah.
Your mom was supportive of your journey to do this?
Oh, yeah. My mom was really happy that I was doing it. And at first, I didn't really tell anybody in the family. I wanted to wait. I wanted to see what it was all about. So I made my appointments. I did my orientation. I read all the stuff. But my partner, he always knew about it, you know, because yeah. I was like, we're here, you know.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And he's like, hey, if that's going to make you happy and you know that's what you can do mm-hmm. and you want to do that, you go ahead. He's like, I'm here to support you any way that I can. And but he did say to me, he's like, but do you think when you have your surgery, you could bring your mom to the hospital? He's like, because I'm going to be useless. Oh, you know,
he knows.
And I said, you know what? I was already thinking that. Yeah. He's like, I'll take care of you when you get home. He's yeah. like, I'll take care of the kids at home. He's like, but in a hospital, he's like, I'm just going to be worried. I'm not going to be he's a shy guy. So he's not going to be able to speak up if I need somebody to advocate for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's like, I love you to death. He's like, but that's just not my jam. And I was like, yeah. Hey, not a problem. I was like, good thing we've recognized our weaknesses, you know?
No, for sure.
I'll keep you at home. You can take care of the cat and the kids and we'll be fine. And mom, who is very powerful, will yes. come with me and mom will take care of me. So yeah. So finally I told my mom first, and then we waited for a bit to tell the rest of the family. And then I was like, hey, just spread this around. I don't feel like talking about it. Mm-hmm. Just because I was fearful of their reactions, but they're mm-hmm. super supportive. I had an aunt who had it done. So her and I, we talked about it and, you know, we went over a lot of stuff together. So, but I mean, you find like you might get a little stigma around it, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's what I was waiting for, the reactions of people of what it's going to be like. But everybody's been major, like, very positive. Like, they've been super receptive to me, and I think people who've known me a long time really get it.
Mm-hmm.
People yeah. who just know me in passing or casually, they're like, oh, but you don't look like you need it. And I try and take that as a compliment.
Yeah. However,
I'm like, but you don't know my BMI, right. Like, you know,
yeah.
So you don't know my real life, but thank you for the compliment though.
Right. Right. Some people just feel the need to say things just to make themselves feel better and don't realize that it yeah. might not be the best for the person they're speaking to.
Exactly. And then I love the people who start to ask more in depth, especially if they are a tad overweight. I already know their little inkling behind them is like, I want to be brave enough to do this. I want to be brave enough to do
yeah.
this. And I'm like, hey, if I can help you, you know, let's do this, mm-hmm. you know, like.
For sure. So I think that the main thing to take out of this, one of the main things for people listening, is that you don't have the support behind you, it will be probably a lot more difficult for you to achieve this.
Oh, yes. And that's what the program says. The program is like, tell your family, get your support. And especially when you do the counseling portion of it, mm-hmm. the social work, they ask you, who's your support? And, mm-hmm. and they're wonderful. And they have a whole bunch of different homeworks for you to do and everything. And they're part of that is, if you don't pass the counseling, you don't get to move on to the next step. And they'll have you do more sessions, and they'll have you, you know, because they want you to be in the right frame of mind.
Of course, it's important. It's whole lifestyle change.
You're changing your life. You're making yeah. an impact on yourself. You're like, you are changing everything, and it's not always easy. You know, it's not always rainbows and unicorns.
Right.
There are dark, dark sides of it. And, you know, the part that I learned the most is that this game of weight loss for anybody with surgery, without surgery, is mental.
Mm-hmm.
1,000% mental.
Indeed.
And that's why I'm such an advocate for therapy, because mm-hmm. you got to heal that. You have to figure out your triggers. You have to figure out like, why is this, you know, what is affecting you? You know, how come, do you binge? Do you do, you know, do you eat
right.
this? Do you eat in secret? Like, all of those things stem back truly to trauma and childhood.
Of course. I totally understand, you know, that I know about that. I've done a lot of healing myself mm-hmm. from traumas and things. Our traumas and our like views on body and weight are completely different. I want to talk mm-hmm. about that
yeah.
a little bit, but I'm going to break this up a bit.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm going to are you okay with me asking you some random questions?
Of course. Bring it on.
I haven't done this in so long. It's been a long time since I've had a show like this. So I'm really excited. And I know my listeners are excited too. Okay. There's a zombie apocalypse. Who are the three people that you want on your team?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So on my team to fight, not on my – okay. So The Rock.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna say – oh, shoot. See, now it makes it hard because I'm like, well, if I don't say my family, then I'm an evil person. But
well, okay. Well, they're there automatically.
They're there automatically. Okay, so then we don't have to worry about that. I would – definitely love if I could have like a superhero, I think I would take like She-Hulk or something like that, or like Wonder Woman, because you know we need them. And then I'm gonna say the character of Michonne from The Walking Dead, because that woman can wield a katana like nobody's business.
Indeed she can. Yeah, good one. I have this written down, but I think I already know the answer now. What is your dream job? It sounds like you have your dream job.
You know what? That is – it's a great job, but that's my pastime. I think my dream job is to actually – I want to do something where I can help people every day.
Yeah.
I want to do something like that. I mean, back in the day, I always thought I'd open up a little sandwich shop cafe.
Okay.
But I would love to just go out and do public speaking and help people. Just maybe talk about nutrition, life, weight loss, and, you know, divorce and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, am I going down the road where I would think I'd want to be a counselor of some sort?
Sounds
maybe
like
that's it.
It.
Or maybe just like some sort of somebody who will help, just help people. And I love to talk, so anything where I'm allowed to talk.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I think a podcast journey might be a good start for you for that.
Well, I'm thinking about it, so this is like the test, right? This is like, do I like it? I do love it. I like it a lot. So I think podcast is on the horizon for me, you know, because I mean, I'm not going to make it like TikTok famous with like a million viewers, but I mean, listeners and viewers, but
you never know, my friend.
You never know. We'll
you
see
don't
what
know.
Can blow up.
Yeah, for sure. Last question. Would you rather live in the ocean or on the moon?
The ocean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I love water.
Yeah.
I can't live without it.
Interesting. All right. Those were fun. So I really would like to support you on this podcast journey, just so you know. And I think it would
Thank
be
you.
Really good start for you to get to the point where you want to be as far as a motivational speaker, a counselor, what have you. You know, giving yourself the platform each week or whenever you decide to release a show to speak about yourself or to interview others will give you kind of, it will open a door for you because it's opened many doors for me to,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, to contribute to the community and to be part of, you know, the things that I'm interested in doing. So if I can support you in any way, please let me know for sure.
Well, thank you. I'm definitely going to reach out and I'm going to pick your brain and be like, do I do this? Does this sound great? Should I do that? You know, I mean, leave
I'm
your phone
here.
On all night because I'll be
you
calling.
Got it. You got it, girl. You got it. So I wanted – this is something I really want to talk to you about. And you touched a little bit on it earlier about grade school. And people commenting on, you know, what you were eating or what you were or weren't doing.
Yep.
Now, we went to a very small grade school.
Yes.
And we were coexisting, you and I, friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel anything from my peers. And I too, and I don't ever want to compare, Michelle. Want to give an example of how trauma, how peers how life can affect different people in mm-hmm. different ways. I am a plus size woman myself.
Mm-hmm.
Never really struggled. I hate using that word. Mm-hmm. And I hate hearing you use that word too, because it's mm-hmm. it's disheartening.
Oh yeah.
Because I've always admired your beauty, your mom. Oh, you guys are you. Yeah. So it's interesting to see like the light I look at you and I've always looked at you in, compared to how you not saying that you didn't love yourself. I can't speak for you. No,
you could say that. You could say that it wasn't always there, right?
Yeah, and yes. And we weren't very, very close, but I always did know that your weight was something that you mm-hmm. struggled with, and that it made you feel not super confident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel like you were... Are there situations from grade school where you felt bullied by specific people, or even not even necessarily in school, just
mm-hmm.
growing up? Can you tell me how that's affected you as your journey has gone?
Oh yeah. On? Yeah, for sure. So like the bullying or the comments, it wasn't like your traditional, like I didn't handle it the way people would traditionally think, oh, that person's being bullied. You know, like I didn't have that. I wasn't that weak person.
No.
So the thing is that I've always been loud and proud, and I've always been one to stand up for other people. And to step in and to, you know, to say something. I'm loud. I'm a Leo. I'm going to roar. That's where I am. And that's what I've always done. But, you know, people know that sometimes I'm a little bit of a firecracker or a loose cannon. And they just – and kids are mean, and they know how to push your buttons. Hmm. And they will say stuff, right? There was always like the cool boys, the cool girls, sure. you know, and they might, and it would be just like a little slight, a snide
yeah.
comment like that. Or like, there was, and kids in the neighborhood who used to be friends with my best neighbor next door, him and his guy friends.
Yeah.
There was one kid who nicknamed me Pork Chop.
Okay.
And I still know who he is. And actually, he went to our grade school, but he was a year or so older than us.
Okay.
And he hung out with my neighbor. And I remember that. But I also remember kicking him in the nuts after he said it. So
good. Good. So you stood up for yourself.
Oh, it wasn't, I stood up for myself, okay. But I still cried, right? Like, mm-hmm. I still cried after at home. And I was like, I can't believe they call me Pork Chop. Or I remember if I wore like purple, you know, somebody would call me Barney. And stuff
Whoa.
Like that. Yeah. So, you know, there was always like, but it was more of me of like, I wanted to climb trees as a kid, but I was too chubby and I couldn't get my ass up in the tree. Okay. And then I couldn't get down. and then the boys would make fun of me because my dad would have to come and try and get me out of the tree, you know, stuff like that. But it was always, yeah, it was a struggle. And it wasn't like a daily struggle, but usually I was more afraid of like kids I didn't know saying something about me. I was like, oh, you run so slow. Or, oh look at her. Have another cupcake. Have this, have that, you know. But my mom was always so hyper aware, and
yeah.
I hated eating in front of people because I was afraid they were going to say, oh, what are you eating? What are you putting in your face? So you know, like kids' birthday parties and stuff like that. If I went to, you know, birthday parties, I would be like trying not to, eat candy and cake in front of everybody because I didn't want people to see me eat, because, you know, I felt like I was just like so gross and disgusting. But yeah, if somebody made fun of my friend, I'd be up for them. And I didn't have a lot of people who would stand up for me. So that was, that's always the thing, is that I always felt like I was standing up for people, giving them my all and being drained of everything, but nobody would stand up for me. And so I thought, you know what? I need new friends, because if I don't have friends that won't stand up for me, you know. But I think I always attracted the odd kids or the weaker kids or the meeker mm-hmm. kids, because I felt like I had to protect them. So I was like, okay, I have all these kids like that are my friends here. But then I'm like, shit, maybe four of them could protect me, you know, or something like that. But yeah, you know, there was like instances and I was like worried that I was like weird and awkward in school because I was like, oh, none of the boys like me. Because, you know, there was always a couple of those girls mm-hmm. and, you know, we're not going to name names, but there was always, you know who they were.
I do.
Yeah. Always had the boyfriends, right? You know, the two cuties that or two or three cuties that were always in high school, and they would each have one of those would be their boyfriends, and then they would break up, and then they would go out with the other guy. Like, I mean, I don't even think they held hands or anything like that, but those were their boyfriends, right?
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and I was like, how come they don't like me? How come? And so, you know, when I lost a lot of weight, grade 7 and 8, the reason why I lost weight is I don't know if you remember us doing this, but there was a pasta dinner fundraiser that we did at Century High School. Tabitha Catherine's dad was the chef.
I do.
And we had to like waitress it, right? We had to serve it. I think we were raising funds for our Quebec trip or something.
I believe that's what it was. I was just gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we had to wear black pants and a white shirt because we had to look like waiters. We went, me and my mom, on search for this. We could not find anything that fit me. We went to Winners because I, you know, Mariposa's was the store back then, and I wanted to get something cool, and none of the cool clothes would fit me. Aww. And we went to Winners, and I remember it was the first time ever I had to go into the plus size section, and I had to get a black skirt, like a black pencil skirt, and it was a size 18. And then we had to get, some sort of blouse or whatever, and I think it was like an extra large. But remember, we're kids still. Our bodies aren't built like women, right?
No,
we don't have the curves. Our torsos are heavier than that most. Like, so that 18 truly wasn't like a real size 18. It was just fitting the biggest part of my body because I didn't have a woman's body yet, right? So trying to put a child in woman's clothes just doesn't happen.
Right.
Like, it doesn't fit the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the pinnacle. And I went home and sobbed. Aww. And my mom was crying. And I was like, I don't want to wear these clothes. They're ugly. They're grandma clothes. I don't want to do this. Because back in the day, in the 90s, so everybody knows, in the 90s, they did not have fashionable plus size clothes. I mean, to this day, they still don't have the most fashionable plus size clothes, but they're working on it. But they did not have them in the 90s. And they didn't have stretch in the 90s. And they didn't, you know, they didn't have those materials. It was quite a different time. So that was like the turning point of no. And that's when I lost a bunch of weight in grade school. And I was even thinking back then, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll get a boyfriend in grade 8 or something like that.
Wow.
You know, because, well, I'm smaller now. Maybe they'll like me. Maybe they'll notice me, right?
Jeez.
And then it turned around because kids our age don't freaking understand weight loss. So they're like, is Michelle sick? Because they taught us about anorexia and bulimia.
They sure did.
And so they taught us about that. And everybody was like, oh my God, Michelle throws up every lunch. She only eats apples for lunch and this and that. And so, you know, then it became this whole thing. My mom is like, a note went home saying, is Michelle okay? And my mom had to explain, like, yes, Michelle's perfectly fine. She eats balanced meals. You know, she's just losing weight. It's okay. Then, yeah. Oh, it had to be a whole thing. Yeah. It was very scary.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. I will say, though, that I do remember going shopping with my mom and having a hard time and wanting to fit into certain things, and they didn't fit. But the reason that I asked the question initially was because for me, it didn't permeate in my brain the way that it did with you. So,
oh, you're so lucky.
I don't know that I consider myself, I don't know, because I think our journey is set for us. You were meant to go through that, have those feelings. Unfortunately, it's easy for me to say, but do I think about that kind of stuff that, you know, from the past? Not that often. And when I do, it doesn't pain me, you know? And I'm really sad for you that there was a point in your life leading up to, you know, now when you're feeling probably your best.
Oh yeah.
That you struggle, or you continue to struggle with that. That's however, you're doing a very good job to make sure that you're creating a healthy, positive life for yourself and to not allow those situations from your past to be make up who you are at this point.
I think it's like it's learning from them, right? Like you have to have that pain to learn from, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that you can't be happy all the time and it can't be mm-hmm. positive all the time. So it molded me. And I think it just molded me to be stronger and to overcome things.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, when you do get those times of depression and anxiety and you're down on yourself, you know, you can always reflect back on it and say, well, look at that hard time.
Yeah. So, like, good point.
Pull yourself up. Let's get out of this. Like, no need to despair. We got through it. We're over it. Let's go to the next thing. Let's just continue improving things. And, you know, like, I mean, yeah, you have to deal with it. And that's why I love therapy so much.
Yes, me too.
Is you could talk little things that you thought were insignificant. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, this little thing actually stemmed from all the way back there. Oh, I totally get this. Now yes. I understand. And you can turn your life around. You can change it. You can make it into what you want and you know, what you need for yourself at that mm-hmm. point in time. Yeah.
Yeah. But, thanks for talking about that with me. Yeah. That was, because yeah, everybody deals with things in different ways, no matter what. And it could be that maybe some of those things were said to me as well, because I would say we were pretty comparable, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
As far as like what we look like, our weight, yeah. I just didn't feel, or maybe they didn't say them to my face.
Right.
Or I don't know. Right. But I think it was, for me, it was important that we talked about that because, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever remember like your parents, like being concerned about your weight or anything
yes.
like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I remember. Was your mom ever concerned about her weight?
Yes.
Like, was she ever like conscious about it? But maybe she brought it up in a different way. You know
yeah.
I mean?
It was definitely different. It wasn't, there was never. It was just, I think it was just an acceptance thing. I don't know. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I've never been like, oh, fuck.
Right.
I wish I could fit into those instead of these. Like, I think that's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I've never thought about getting a gastric bypass surgery. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you put it that way. I've been content. I've kind mm-hmm. of maintained the same weight my whole life.
Yeah.
And I just was just not in my frame of mind, but no. Never.
Yeah. I think it's cause I know I'm a black and white type person.
Yeah.
So it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
And so that kind of the all or nothing mentality is extremely difficult.
Okay.
So like, usually when I have great successes, I'm 1,000% in. But gotcha. If I hit one little thing and it throws me off, I am a fuck it, I don't care. And I go off the rails.
Person. Okay.
So with that mentality and knowing, and I'm just like so tired of the struggle and always calorie counting, always doing something, you know, always doing something. Afterwards, and you know, speaking with the doctors and everything, they're like, you know what, when you have this surgery, you have to relearn to eat, and this is just one tool that you have in your toolbox because it's a restriction. So I can put what I need in my body,
mm-hmm.
and I can all I have to do is worry about protein. I need to make sure I get my, you know, 60 to 80 grams of protein a day, and I should be good. Take my vitamins, drink my water.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, that's the easiest thing.
Yes.
Because people are like, oh, you'll never be able to eat this again or that again. I'm like, yes, I can.
Yes.
I can eat anything that I want as long as my restriction allows me to do it. There are some foods that I don't want that I've tested out. And I said, you know what? I'm going to wait another 6 months till I try that again. It's mm-hmm. either too heavy. It doesn't make me feel well. I got to go for a nap after eating. So, you know, but I'm like, no. I'm good. Like, people think you just lose your entire life. You lose your freedom. And now you're living on protein shakes and salad for the rest of your life. And that's not the case. Like,
good.
I can
that's
still have
know.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I think to me, it's just like, yes, for my type of attitude, my mindset, this is the better option, because I don't have to worry and fill my head with all of these thoughts of continuously thinking about food, continuously thinking about how much I ate or what I'm going to eat next, or or is that meal balance of this, like, it's it just takes that stress and relief, like, off your shoulders. But it might not be like that for other people, but for me, that's the way it is. It's like, oh,
well, that's love great. And then you're happy with your choice.
Oh, ecstatic. Like, I would not go back on it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have changed my mind. Like, of course, I don't want to go back to the old ways. Well, physically I can't go back to the old ways, but, you know, I think it's really helping with everything.
I hear the kitty.
Yes. She just came in. She jumped up beside me.
I have one more. I wanted you to shout out your TikTok people. I know you've created a great community there, and it is, I mean, for us as almost 40-year-old women, I don't know how hard it was for you to jump on a platform like that, but it, for me, it's like, oh gosh, you know, when I had to get Facebook and Instagram for my podcast, like, you have to put yourself out there, right? So I want to give you some time to talk about, you know, the importance of that, your community there.
So the community is amazing. And at first I was just like a voyeur, right? I would watch TikToks. I would not make it. I thought, this is for 13-year-olds. Why am I so enamored with TikTok, right? Like, but those videos just are, they get the hilarious ones, the dancing, the cooking videos, the this, the that. And then in my scrolling, I found people talking about surgeries and this and that and weight loss and this. And I was like, ooh, because I was looking for weight loss and health and nutrition stuff like that, you know, fitness tips. And then I started to, like, get into the algorithm of the weight loss surgery and listening to it. That kind of helped me propel and say, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a big thing. And and so watching that kind of helped me. Then I researched. So I'll tell you this. We call ourselves, like, the Berry Buddies, the Berry Family. So Berry is short for bariatric.
Okay.
And so we're all a bunch of Berry Buddies. And we have our community. And our community is so strong. So we have a friend right now who just had surgery about 12 days ago. And he had to actually be admitted to the hospital. And everybody's rallied around him. And we're all there. We're texting each other and everything. I had a friend. So this is hilarious. You know, back in the day, your parents are like, don't meet anybody off the internet. You're going to get sawed in half, right? Well, I just had my friend from Markham come down. And I met her on TikTok, right? So crazy. But she's been following my journey since, like, the day before I had my surgery.
Aww.
And her surgery is October 14th. So we do live chats and everything like that, where a bunch of us will jump on. And we're all friends, and we tease each other, and we laugh at each other. But we are planning to do, like, a berry meetup type thing. So we're going to have something. We still have to work out the kinks and everything, but we're going to do something where either we, like, meet at a restaurant, or we're going to involve, like, a morning walk and then a restaurant. It might be somewhere in the GTA area, because a lot of people are from there. But we've met people. I've met people online and everything, and text them and check in on them every day from across Canada, across the US, some friends in Europe. My name on TikTok is Spicy Pepper 831_RNY. So RNY is the abbreviation for the type of surgery I had. So it's gastric bypass ruin Y. So RNY is that. Some people you see, they'll say _VSG. So that's vertical gastric sleeve, which is a different type of surgery. That's the one that looks like a banana. Your stomach looks like a banana. So this TikTok thing, I mean, I just threw it up there and I was like, whoever sees it. And I have been lucky enough that I have not received any trolls. And so they're on the big creators, the ones that got the huge followings and everything like that. You'll see if there's a person trolling and making negative comments or saying mean things, they essentially copy and paste on everybody's profile. So and then those creators will say, nah, and they go up against it. Well, I have not gotten any of that. And fingers crossed, I've kind of prepared myself if I got some of those negative things. You know, from being online, you're subjected to people's comments, right? You know,
of course you are.
You've got your podcast and all your stuff, you know, out on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. And you put that out for the public. People are going to comment, and people are, you know, they're like keyboard cowboys. They do whatever they want to say. they don't care that you're a real person because they're hiding behind their screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't encountered that, but I've already prepared myself. If I do, I'm just going to delete it, and I'm going to say, you know what? Today wasn't their day. I don't need to read it. Nobody else does. Let's just get rid of it. But I know my community. They will rally and they will go to bat for me, and they'll probably like tear that person apart, right? That's just the way that they are. So I think it's nice. It's like, finally, I got this group of people who are going to back me up as much as I'm going to back them up. And I always try and give the most positive information that I can. I try not to do negative, because it's so hard when you write and comment on people's things. You just don't, tone is not there, right?
It's not.
And so what I like about TikTok is, which is so crazy that I'm 40, almost 40, and I love TikTok, is that when you reply, some of them you can reply with a video. So at least I could like record me replying to them so they can see my expression, they can hear my tone, and they can, you know, my empathy towards them.
Right.
And then they can know, oh, okay, that's what she means by that, you know, or, you know, stuff. But I just have fun with it. And it's kind of fun. I just started up my Instagram as well, mm-hmm. because I know I wanted to cross promote the podcast that we're on and everything. So I started that up, and I'm able to just there's a link on TikTok. It says post Instagram. So boom, I can throw it onto Instagram, and it's really easy. It's easy now, but I really had to figure out how that happens.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like, going back to what you said earlier, and you know, you were always supportive to friends and didn't have support back. It mm-hmm. looks like you found the community where you have great support.
Yeah, I really think I did. And there are some friends for life in that group. And that's awesome. It's great because everybody texts, or we have a little group chat going, and then everybody checks in and says, oh, what are you up to? I haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on? You know, a weekend away, I just needed like a little mental health break. And I got people sending me messages. Where are you? Are you okay? I'm like, mm-hmm. holy crap, guys. Like, I just took a weekend to myself. I had to film a video saying, guys, I'm all good. I just mm-hmm. need a little rest. And thank you for checking in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not doing this for look at me.
No, it's not the type of person you are. Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for information. And if my story can help people, then that's what I want. I want that for them. I want them to be like, I went searching for information. I found your account. I got that. They're going to get information. They're going to get a little bit of crazy. They're going to get some jokes, you know, and they're just going to get me being silly. And, you know, so, and if they like it, they like it. And if they don't, they don't, then it's perfectly fine. Not everybody has to like it, but
right.
I'm just there to help. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
That's amazing. Amazing. Well, on that note, this has been awesome and wonderful connecting with you and having you take us through the journey of who you are and who you've become and who you're going to be. I'm so proud of you for being able to speak so openly and honestly about everything that you've experienced. This is wonderful.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You shouted out already or gave your own shout out of where we can follow you. Mm-hmm. And if anyone does need to contact you, has questions, are you open to them messaging you?
Oh, yeah. You? Okay. 1,000%. So my Instagram is fully open. You can send me a DM. So spicypepper831_RNY. Or on TikTok, same thing. I have an open profile, so anybody can follow, anybody can DM. I will put a disclaimer. I do not send money to Cash Apps, and I do, you know, those things. So none of that. I'm not graced with unlimited funds to be able to help everybody, but I can help you with, support and information.
Yeah.
For sure. And then, yeah, if they want to reach out that way, and then if I feel comfortable enough and you and people want to, you know, text or whatever, we can definitely do that. If we build a great bond, if not, DMing me is the way to go.
Perfect. I'll make sure that I link your Instagram and your TikTok,
yep,
in the description below. I have one more question for you.
Yes.
What would be something you would want someone who's going through this surgery, you know, it's kind of like motherhood. They don't tell you everything. What's something that you've discovered that you want everyone to know who's going to go through gastric bypass?
It's not as scary as you think. Do all your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework. Take every appointment that they give you. Don't be lazy and make sure you have everything in order. Okay. If you want to get, that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to get through it and you want to make sure you get all your stuff, do the work. This is your job for now. That's what I want them to think of it. This is your job. Okay. So if that's what you want to go through, you got to treat it like a job. You got to make it a priority. Because a lot of people don't. And then they wait. Then they're always complaining. Woe is me. How come I don't have mine? I started before you. This and that. Well, you're not compliant. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So you need to do your homework. You need to do your job. And you just need to focus. You have to focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself a priority.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Thanks so much, Michelle. This has been lovely.
This was amazing, and thank you so much. I'm so honored that you had me on, and I just thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm sure we will be in touch forever and ever and ever.
Yes, we should, and we should go for coffee soon.
Yes, let's do that, my friend. Thanks, and take care.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.